Hi, I'm Megan Riley, and I am not your normal relationship and sex coach. Remember how he used to look at you? Let's get that back. This isn't going to be about texting the right thing or manipulating him. It's about changing you and you becoming more you. And I am going to be here to help every step of the way. This is the Ignite the Fire podcast. Welcome back. Just this sweetness of this conversation. I am so looking forward to it and so looking forward to sharing this couple with you. I found Prisca and Boss, I think it was about a year ago, and it was on Instagram. So love relationship. If you haven't seen this, you have got to see this because it is the most passionate, conscious, like beautiful. The pictures are gorgeous. The pictures of the two of them are gorgeous. I was so entranced just watching the pictures of the two of them and knowing what it was that they had, whatever they had, I wanted. So we've been talking over the last year and I am really just honored to share them with you. So Prisca and Boss, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, it's really, really a blessing to be here.
Pris, life coach, actress, Reiki master, professional dreamer, and heart follower. Prisca Bauman is all of that. She writes love, truth, and freedom in capital letters because that is what she wholeheartedly stands for and believes in. A natural authority in her field, passionately supporting women and unfolding their highest potential and kissing their inner Shiro awake. Tell me about that.
It sounds so great when you were reading it. So, about Shiro, you would like to talk?
Yes.
It's like one of my big passions next to love relationships. So I have two businesses, and one of like this business is the Shiro business. And it's really all about empowering women, about self-love, about self-worth, about just knowing who you are and showing up in the world as who you are. And it's like just so beautiful to see women, because especially we women, I think you know about that very well, Megan, that we are often hiding or ashamed of parts of us or feeling somehow wrong when we are having certain feelings or sensations. And it's really all about uncovering what is blocking us from being us, the most authentic version of ourselves, the most free version of ourselves, and the most self-loving version of ourselves.
Wow. How was your process in Shiro then, and how does that translate over to love relationships?
Well, the Shiro thing actually was born out of a massive heartbreak. And when I really like had to collect myself up from the floor again, I kind of learned in this process how to be me and how to be really me and not to be somebody else is expecting me to be. And then when I met Boss, I really learned to really refine that. Because being with him, really, there's no bullshit allowed. You can just not pretend to be anybody else as you actually are. And as we met under special circumstances, he was still married. And we met in a Facebook group. And it's a very long story. Anyhow, I really had to stand my ground and stand in this fire of also being called names, of being... I mean, like, if you're falling in love with a married man, you're just a slut in general.
Right.
People are throwing all the shit at you. And it's not that I don't understand it. I understand it. And still, it hurts, of course. But then to really stand in my truth and know my worth and still knowing what is right within me, there I really could live my principles. And after this whole process, I really felt like, and also leaving, for example, my country, because I'm Swiss, Buff is from the Netherlands, so I had to leave my country, give up my whole life, all my friends, my family, and really start over anew with a whole new language, really on my own, because of course, Boss was still like in the whole process of divorce and with his kids, he was very busy. So it was really me and my dog. And I really learned how to stand, to really be this Shiro even more. And therefore, I really wanted to share it because I really saw how it paid off, how it really worked. But it's something that you can really embody after this inner work. And so I started to sharing it.
Wow. Okay, now you mentioned something. I want to go back. Boss would take no shit.
No, he wouldn't.
And women, for the most part, when we are interested in someone, we change. We become a little bit smaller. We are more concerned about how it's going, how things are being taken. And then you've got the whole slut shaming thing going on. And then did you know right away? Did you know that he was it?
Yeah, I knew like immediately.
Really?
Yeah, there was no question mark, actually. I knew before we met, like in the physical world, because we met first like during meditation. And this was so strong, like he really visited me in my room, and he was in the Netherlands, I was in Switzerland. And the same happened for him with me. But I was so scared I wouldn't tell, because before I just saw in him a friend. He was married, I felt happily married, you know, and he was of my type, he's 11 years older. There was no zero thought about he being like some kind of a romantic interest. And all of a sudden this happened. And then I felt such a deep love for that person that I was so scared, and I just knew that is it. That's what I've always been dreaming about. This is it. But of course, I wouldn't tell him because like I was so scared. And then he, after the second meditation, he said that this happened with him as well, because we had these global meditations in this group. Sorry, I forgot to mention that. So we were meditating all together, and he had the same experiences as I had, and he told me, and then I just knew, man, shit. This is it.
I have heard that over and over and over, the feeling that when you know that it's it, it's not necessarily a heart-opening, very romantic, oh my gosh, Nicholas Sparks kind of moment. Ooh. It's like an oh fuck kind of moment. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a combination. It's also the romantic thing, because we had that as well. Like in the beginning, that you constantly look at each other, and then you get sexually entangled and also wanting to do everything. I wanted to share everything that happened in my life. I never talked so much about everything that has happened to me since I've been with Prisca. So it's really wanting to get her deeper and deeper into my life by sharing everything that has ever happened to me. So this is actually the beautiful romantic part, but next to it, it's shit. It's hard labor. It's going through pain, and it's getting triggered over and over and over, even in parts where I thought, well, like I already tackled this one and I already healed that wound. But then Mrs. Switzerland came along, and everything got tore open again. And yeah, so that was not always a walk in the park.
Nope. And I was feeling exactly what you said, because in the beginning when I had these feelings, because I too was judging myself for falling in love with a married man very, very harshly. And I had one breakdown after the other. He wanted to visit me to find out if this is what we were feeling was real. And I was really like, no, you cannot come. You just cannot come, because there's no good ending in any way. And I cannot carry this guilt of breaking up a family. I cannot take that. And it was a very, very hard time until I really felt like I have to stay true in this. This is this love that I've always wanted and that I was dreaming about. And so it was really not just yay at all.
Oh, so beautiful. Okay, so Bas, for you here, introduce you, life and relationship coach, author, and shamanic healer. I didn't know that. Father of two is the epitome of a life-loving human who is happiest when connecting deeply with Mother Nature and embracing all her secrets, the light and the dark ones. He is familiar with both light and shadow work. Bas is extraordinarily creative and a natural-born leader who inspires people wherever he goes just by living, breathing, and speaking his truth with a wide open heart. This is what I love about this is that's really who you are and how you show up. And you show up as the archetype of masculine energy, the archetype of being a container, being in service to the feminine. And, you know, I've been reading about this and studying all of this work for a long time, and go back way back to David Deida in his poem, beautiful words that never really meant anything. I mean, it was so poetic and gorgeous, and reading Dear Lover and all of those things. And they didn't mean anything. You are the archetype of how to ground that and how to express that and the example of that. So that so many of us, not that the personality is the example, but holding up the sense of being a container and what exactly is possible.
Wow. That's beautiful to hear, because like being masculine or being how to be a man has always been like really a struggle for me. In short, my parents got divorced when I was 8, and I started living with my mom then, and my mom came out of the closet as being a lesbian, and she was a very radical feminist. I always felt in her energy, and she did not really say it in many words, but I really always felt in her energy that men were not good, and men were not good to women, and they were suppressors, and they were lazy and everything. As a boy, I started to suppress my masculinity to please my mom, actually. And this took me quite some years to really see that pattern and really get out of it by doing men's work and also the shamanic education you mentioned. So it's really beautiful to hear you say that you see or you feel me as this container. Yeah, that's really great to hear.
It's the perfect example. So then you have this, you're trying more or less to emasculate yourself to please your mother.
Yep.
Then grow into adulthood. So what happened that now here's who you are?
What happened in the beginning, I used to attract mostly very wild and dominant women where I could be this humble, almost deep of suppressed little boy that I was from my mom. And I never could really connect because I could not connect to the people around me, to the women around me. I also felt this lack inside of myself that I really could not connect with who I truly was and who I authentically was. And then at one point, I remember it very clearly. I read this book by Dan Millman, The Way of the Peaceful Warrior.
Oh.
And it really struck me and it really made me cry. And I really felt it vibrating through my whole body. And then I started Googling him a bit and I read that he was into shamanic stuff. So then I immediately start Googling if there would be something in the Netherlands what I could do. And I found like a shamanic school and I did that for 2 years. And this really was, thinking back of it, I really get goosebumps all over again. This really was such a gift and such a incredibly ongoing healing to get me back into this guy, this man that I actually was and that I always pushed aside and buried under the good guy or the pleasing guy or, yeah. And then I also connected more to men, aware men who are into men's work. And this also helped me because like men, brothers in connection with each other, they don't take each other's bullshit neither. So immediately where I was holding back and where I was not living my authentic masculinity. So they also helped me there to call me out and help me create the guy that I am nowadays.
Wow. So now what do you do, Bas, to reconnect with that?
To reconnect with the masculinity?
Yes.
It's also like really feeling into it because once I felt this masculine energy, because it really is a very significant difference in energy. Also, maybe you know that as well, Megan, that sometimes like I love to be hugged by Prisca, but sometimes I just need to be hugged by a guy because it's such different energy. And to connect with this energy in myself, like open the portals. And of course, sometimes when I'm doing the day-to-day life, I also get out of tune with it, but like going within and doing meditations, but also going outside, going in nature, connecting with friends. Tonight I'm going with three guys to the movies, and I already know that this is also going to bring me back to this this feeling and this connection again.
That is awesome, because I think that the masculine feminine, just the conversation, can also then lead to emasculating. Masculating the woman, some kind of judgment or assessment of one partner saying you need to go be a man and yeah. Or to the you need to go be a woman. So how do you hold yourselves accountable and each other accountable for that?
We talk a lot. We just talk a lot and we don't keep anything back when we're seeing something happening. For example, when I get triggered by something, I just speak it out. And mostly, always, it's actually having to do something with me and not with him when I'm getting triggered. But then it's really like we're then creating this safe container where we really can mirror each other and see, okay, where's the actual thing lying? Where is the actual pain buried? Or yeah, where that we can address this original thing within me or in us in the end. And I think we talk so much and we also like really are very into feeling stuff and creating space to feel stuff. And this is like, we cry a lot, we scream a lot. I mean, I have never ever in my whole life had so many fights with a person ever. But I really feel it's necessary to get to these places and to really, yeah, to keep also the energy pure, because I personally am so sensitive to any kind of mistune between people, or especially to him. I cannot even go through a day with this between us. I really have to somehow release it or make it a topic so that it can go.
Next to the communicating, it's also about really looking to ourselves, because we also have times that I, for some reason, slip more into my feminine energy, and then I don't feel that so much, but I can always see it in Prisca, because then she all of a sudden gets into this organizing mode and she starts doing things on her. And then I think, what the F is happening there? And then I tune in with myself and then I know what's happening here. So it's really a balance. And also the other way around, like when Prisca is dragging big grocery bags or whatever, is doing these kind of typical masculine things, then she also can see, oh, I see what is happening here, because then I'm too much in my feminine modus, and
or I'm in too much in the masculine in this case. Yeah. Yes, and to see, okay, wait a minute, something is off.
Yeah. But it's also a natural thing with us, and this is because without having to do so much, since I met Prisca, I actually am more naturally in my masculine mode than like ever before, and I think that you have that as well, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. And the funny thing is, I always think he's such an extremely masculine man. And he always says, yeah, this is the first time I'm hearing that. Because, you know, earlier I always heard I was such a feminine guy. And I thought, what are these people like feeling or seeing? Because I just don't see it. And I really think somehow together we just changed into this kind of feminine and masculine thing. And it's really a dance, because as well, like, Boss can be such a woman sometimes, in sense of his dancing, like woman in sense of just the feminine, living his feminine parts, dancing through the house, and I don't know, being super creative. And I can be also be the guy, as he said, like organizing and planning. And of course, when we say guy and woman, we just mean these aspects of the feminine and the masculine.
Yep.
But it's a dance. But in general, I really think it's just something that happened naturally and fell into place when we got together, when our energies met somehow.
Huh. So I think a lot, and myself included, thought that we just were born and conditioned into knowing how to do a relationship. Then when I kept failing over and over and over, thought, okay, maybe I need to find some help. Maybe there's something that's not working. You said there's a natural polarity between the two of you, and that it does kind of dance. How do you share this with people?
We share this in posts, but we also share it with people we talk to. It's not that like we are constantly on topic, like being very aware, okay, now we have to share these parts of ourselves, because what Prisca already said, it's really like some sort of a natural flow. And what we also hear is that, like, that parents should not tell their children what to do, but they have to live it. And this is what we be some sort of a role model. And this is what we hear as well, that we don't necessarily always have to talk everything through, but that people just see us living it, and then they get into the dynamics, and they also ask questions about okay, how does it work for you? And then we come in some sort of a natural conversation with people. So this is actually mostly how it works, I think.
Yeah, and I also think if people are really feeling safe in a safe environment, they also can like live more the parts they normally hide, or explore the parts they normally hide. Because what I feel is, when I'm with Boss, I really have this safety to be who I actually am. And of course, this is still work to find out who I actually am. And we're still working on that. This is an ongoing process. But it's just like when you're having this safety of, it's okay how I am today. And I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to be like finished in some kind of way. We really can also, like, this natural being feminine or masculine just happens when we like allow ourselves to be more who we are. This is what I observe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys see this, but here, for the most part in the States, we do not have that. We do not have the freedom to be ourselves. We do not have freedom or the safety. There's a lot of judgment. There's a lot of assessment. There's a lot of mean girl. Women aren't connecting with each other. Men are not connecting with each other. So if someone comes to you from this world of not having any freedom and wanting and questioning themselves, what's the transformation?
It's creating this safe space.
Yeah.
It's really about this, creating this safe space within like our clients and us, that they can actually start to see themselves for who they actually are. And of course, first this takes some courage to really like be that vulnerable. And sometimes you also don't know. I know it for myself. I didn't know who I was. I have totally lost myself with all these conditions of who I thought I had to be in order to be lovable or to be a nice woman or nice girl or whatever. Really, it's a process. But I really think it starts with this safe space of it's okay that you don't know it yet. It's okay that we have to explore here. And it's okay that it's a process. I think this is the start of every transformation. And we can just be where we are to really accept where we are, embrace the person we are today by knowing that there's another one living in us that is this hero that I, for example, talked about, or the hero, of course, in the man, that can like some kind of like being shed out of this walls that we have built up over the years.
Yeah. And it's also about welcoming all the pieces in, because I know when I was younger, like if there something happened where I felt ashamed about or angry or sad, I did not live these parts because, like what you said, people around me said, yeah, you cannot do that and you are a pussy and you are not allowed to say these things. And like, this is what we do then. We get conditioned and we shut up. And by learning to be okay, what Prisca already said, with who you are, and that it's also okay to be sometimes ashamed of things you do, and that it's also okay that sometimes you are just a short-sighted, arrogant bastard, and that you hurt people, and that it's also okay that sometimes you lie on the couch and sob your eyes out because you don't know how to deal with day-to-day life anymore. Because there's so much judgment, but also so much self-punishment and self-flagellation almost, if you are not doing the things that society grants as perfect or good.
So this safe space really actually starts within ourselves. Mm. If we're allowing to be just in our space to like show up as who we actually are and not even pretend to us that we're somebody else, this is where the healing starts. This is where the transformation starts. That we can just embrace all the parts within us and see, okay, I feel ashamed about that, or I'm needy. And it's okay that I'm needy because it's coming from, there's a reason, there's always a reason why we're feeling a certain way, and not to judge us for how we feel or who we are at the moment.
It's so powerful. And just marriages, relationships, families, work, there's so many places where we are not ourselves or even know who that is.
True.
That's very true. Yeah. Yes. And especially when you're living, like working for somebody, then you have to even wear what they want you to wear. You have to use a certain language. You have to just really pretend so much, but we all have these thousands of roles that we're playing in a normal day life, like in a normal day, I mean, of our lives. And like when we go shopping, there are always different kind of roles. And of course, it's okay to have these roles, but it's just very important that we start to get more and more closer to who we actually are, that it's not like playing, that it's just being, living a part within ourselves.
Yeah. And also looking for the people in our surroundings that actually are living the part that we would love to live as well. Mm. For example, I'm not going to talk too much about her, but my daughter, she's now 13. She's way too small for her age. She's super skinny. She has a weird music taste.
Actually not, she's a great music
yes,
taste.
Yes, we think that. she has cut all of her hair off and dyed it black, but she really doesn't give a fuck. Mm. And she's proud of who she is, and she walks with confidence through the house. And this is such a role model, such a mirror also for me to sometimes just think, yeah, what the F? Let's just be who I am and just...
At 13.
13,
yeah. Yes. She's amazing. She's so free.
Yeah.
She's so free.
At 13, I was tucking in my shirt so that everybody could see the label. And I lived in Minnesota. And so there was a bus stop, and my mother would make me wear boots, but I would take the boots off and put them in the bus stop and stand in fashionable shoes and get frosted. So concerned about what other people thought and so concerned about fitting in. And you give this example. Wow. Okay. So now here you have lives. You have two children, you have dogs, you have two businesses, three businesses.
Yeah, right, two.
Yeah.
There's life that's happening. And masculine, feminine, and being containers, and that's all great. But then in the middle of a trigger, and kids and dogs and bosses dancing through the house, you manage this.
The beautiful thing is sometimes I'm even a bit ashamed to say it, but I'm just going to do it anyhow. The beautiful thing of being divorced is that 1 week my kids are with their mom, and one kid they are with Priska and I. So we have, in a month, we actually have 2 whole weeks for ourselves. And this is quite a luxury. Mm. And of course, I do miss my children as well in these weeks, but it's also actually beautiful to have that so that we can spend more time to connect again with each other. Because when the kids are here, it's really, really very hard to be this, what you just described, yeah, dancing through the house, being containers and all. And also, for example, the sexuality, because we had a conversation like a couple of days ago where we were talking about in the weeks that the children are here, that there is just a difference in the sexuality, mm-hmm, which is normal. But really, through talking about that and really seeing, okay, we have to create more time instead of when the kids are in bed and then we're tired and then we go on our laptops to do the final things, or you're going to watch a series on Netflix, also very beautiful, but maybe we should also create more time to, like we did in the beginning, just put like a duvet on the floor and sit in front of each other, holding each other's hand or giving each other a nice massage or listening to meditative music and doing a journey or whatever. But this is really, you can get lost in the day-to-day life.
Absolutely. Mm. There's a reason why our business is called Love Relationship, because we have really gone through quite some shit. And now, of course, most of the actual shit in the beginning is now like some kind of round, and we have gone through that. But of course, there's still shit occurring and there's still stuff coming up. And so it's really not always just these walks in the parks as being this container, as you said it. So as Boss just said, it's really about finding the balance over and over and over again. And sometimes it's not working. It's just not, when like something big is happening in the business, or like, for example, my grandparents just died both within 3 weeks. It's a very beautiful love story, actually. He just like really in 3 weeks, he after her death, he just followed her. But of course, when these things happen and then I have to like fly 3 times in 1 month to Switzerland and then everything next to it, it's just not so easy to manage everything. And this happens in every relationship. And I think it's really powerful to just know that this will happen and to be okay with being out of balance from time to time. Mm. And just being okay to find the balance again. And it's always moving. It's never just, oh, now it's set up, now it's running this whole thing. No, it's always evolving and changing and adapting and finding each other again. And it's really a dance. And when you know that, it's so much easier, because then you're not beating yourself up or the relationship up, or you think, oh, something is wrong, and you're panicking, or
we're not saying something because we think, I thought, okay, once it's set up, then it's good and we don't really have to look at it again. You know, it's all good. Yeah. And that's when things would fall apart.
True.
Yeah, it's really a never-ending story, actually. And this is also the beauty of it. Yeah. It's always growing and evolving.
But what you say is very significant, Megan, because I also sometimes have moments that I have a feeling, or I feel some sort of disconnected to Priska, or she said something that felt wrong to me. And sometimes I think, well, it's not that important, so I'm not going to talk about it. But in the end, it's going to pester inside and it's going to do stuff and it becomes bigger. So what I really learned in this relationship as well, and sometimes it's tiring as hell, but we really promised each other in the beginning, okay, we are going to be brutally honest, cutthroat honest, and we are going to say everything that pops up, even till to the moment that it hurts you, because this is the only way to get into this connection again. Like, there are so many people who, when they are disconnected to their partner, don't say that. And when we have that, I just say, baby, I don't know what's happening inside of you, but I feel that you are somehow slipping away, or I feel some distance going on. Can you tell me something? Is there something going on? Mm-hmm. Did I do something? Can we talk about it? And this, like 9 out of 10 times, creates growth and creates a new flow again. And 1 time out of 10, it's just annoying as shit.
Yes, because every think it's the small things that in the end let a relationship die. All these little things we don't say, these little things, they are layer upon layer that are like in between you and your partner, and also between you and yourself, because you're not totally living up to your truth, because you think, oh, it's actually not such a big deal, you know, don't make it bigger than it is. But in the end, it's it's like one after the other, it gets thicker and thicker and thicker, this layer, until it gets a real big thing, but you cannot point your finger at it because it's, this wall is made of thousands little things and you cannot just look at them all together. And when you really are like having this conversation, this ongoing conversation, yeah, you can just not let this happen. And of course, there's still, it's okay that sometimes you're kind of disconnected and everybody needs his own space. This is also totally okay. But it's just good to keep an eye on it and look at it and not like let it just become some kind of a habit or a thing that just is there, you know, like because, well, it's just there. We got used to it because
right, this is not, it will just grow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It grows very slowly if you are not aware of it. Like, I have been in groups and I've been in men groups as well. And there are so many men in relationships or in marriage, for example, apart from other stuff, that haven't been intimate with their women for sometimes years. And then I think, how can this happen? A part of me understands it because I have been in relationships as well where it slowly became more of a brother and sister connection. Mm-hmm. So I can relate to the feeling, but now with the new path we are walking on and the new knowledge I actually have, I cannot wrap my mind around it anymore.
Shutting down in that way.
Yeah. And intimacy is, of course, not only sex. Like, intimacy is so much more than sex. And I know it from myself that sometimes I just don't want sex. And I think, like, my womb, like, even if my mind wants, I feel my womb, my body is really just not in the mood. It just is not ready or, yeah, it just doesn't receive him in this moment. And then you still can find ways to be intimate together in different kind of ways. And I think this is also a very nurturing part of our relationship in the end, to have this intimacy going on.
That's a perfect segue. So let's talk about sex. You both have had the experience in other relationships of what's kind of typical. What's typical is we have a chemical reaction to someone, we fall into a relationship, and then we try and figure it out. And then all the things, the resentment builds and frustration builds, and either sex is the first thing to go or the last thing to go.
Yep.
And then we start all over. So how has this been? Because we have talked about sacred sexuality and really intimacy, physical intimacy, emotional intimacy, spiritual intimacy. But how has that evolved as the two of you have grown?
Evolved. How has it evolved? In the beginning, there was nothing because he was still married. So it was just this extreme attraction, but nothing has happened. Took quite some strength. But then when he was free and like it was really clear that we wanted to be together and he got divorced, then it was just very sexual, we can say that. And I mean, like, I was living in the Netherlands then already, but I didn't see him so often, just I think every 2 or 3 weeks he visited me there in this little place where I was living. And of course, this was so special to be with him together and also to have him physically with me, because the physical thing was the thing that really was an issue with us, because we met like he in the Netherlands, me in Switzerland, having this like long distance kind of relationship. And then finally, there was really this hunger. Yeah. And I also was not sexually active when I was not in a relationship. I was just not made. I was sexually active with myself, but not with a man, because it's just something I never could do. I never could have like sex without love. Somehow my body just refused, and I was listening to that and honoring this always. But there was a hunger, a big hunger for this. And with Boss, the sex was just always like, it really was, I cannot call it different, but sacred. It really was sacred from the beginning. And we had also kind of like, I really had like all, even visions while having intercourse with him. And it was really very special. And of course, with the relationship, now that we're living together and there are kids, this was really for me a big blocking coming up, but also because we went through so much shit also, you know, the whole blended family story, because even when it's easy, it's still complicated. Mm-hmm. And I went through massive anger issues, and there were so many topics were coming up, and I really was so occupied with them. And this certainly also was like, had an influence on our sex life, that we had to more consciously create the containers of being intimate or having sex. But still, every time when we have sex, it's just beautiful. Not once that I had the feeling, oh, this is just, when is it over? Mm-hmm. It was always this like almost spiritual practice.
Yeah, and also there, this what we're talking about, this masculine feminine energy came actually very natural, because whenever we have sex, and now I'm talking about that I am penetrating Prisca, and I know this sounds cliche as shit, but it really is like this. I really, really, really feel like a king, like making love to his queen. And it's always, even if we have like quick sex in between, it's never only sex. There's always energy going on. There's always emotion involved.
Yeah, I really would say it's a spiritual experience in some kind of way, always. And I also can say that when I feel like not wanting sex, I also know that there's something in my energy, that there's some kind of a disconnection between me, like in myself, for example, with Source. So I really feel when I'm not aligned, then this alignment cannot happen either. And because I listen very much to my body, if it's saying no, I'm really listening to that. Whenever we both are ready, this is always happening. So like this connection in all kind of ways, it's like opening these gates. I also cannot explain it in words because it's not really explainable. Yeah.
Wow. Remember that there's an optical illusion, there's a painting, and it's either two faces or a vase. And when I look at the two of you, I see the two of you as the vase. You're doing these things and you're filling your own cup and you're doing things to take care of yourselves, which creates the vase in between.
Wow. That's beautiful.
That's beautiful.
Oh, shivers. That's very beautiful, really. And it's really, really true. Yeah. It's really, really true.
So tell me about love relationship.
Love relationship. Well, it actually started because at one point we felt that we wanted to share what happens to us. We wanted to share it with people. So we started to do YouTube videos and writing some blogs and little posts on Facebook. And it felt so good and it felt so rewarding. And we also got very cool responses to that, that we actually at one evening with a big bottle of whiskey decided, let's make it into a business, baby.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, in the beginning, it was still just thinking and okay, let's do this. But since I think a year now, we really created a business. We also have a website now. We also have programs that we can offer. We just finished like the Real Deal from Solo to Soulmate. That's especially for single women. It's an 11-week program where we, well, do a whole journey with them to open up the portals to attract like a soul-stirring love. And also we want to do these things with guys. But we thought, well, let's do it first with women because women are more easy to approach in this way. They are more open to growing and to healing and to going further. But we have like crazy ideas like
yes,
what
absolutely.
To do.
And, Yeah, we're starting now with the ladies because, of course, I have been working with ladies before because my business already was there when Love Relationship was born. And I just heard it over and over again. And I know it for myself. I mean, I have been single for a very long time in my life, like looking for this kind of love that we have now. And I just felt like it's our duty to share that, what I did, what we did to like how you can do that you can attract that. Because of course, still it's like just a blessing of life. But I also believe that we can do actively very much to receive this kind of love. Because I really feel if you're having this longing within you, it's meant for you. It's there for you.
Yep.
So it's all about just releasing the blocks and opening, as Boss said, the portal so that you can actually receive it. You can come together as a couple.
And also getting aware about patterns, because what you also said, Megan, that women, once they get into a connection and to a love relationship, we interviewed lots of women, and every one of them said that they totally lost themselves in the relationship.
Yeah. Me too. I was one of them too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is so interesting to look into where this comes from, what the collective is there. Like if you go into it, it has to do with ancestral energies. Open up a whole cupboard and you can talk for years about that. But it's really so incredibly interesting to pick the cherries and look at them and see, okay, with which tools can we actually help people to not fall into these old
patterns
again.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. And of course, also to really get to know yourself, to really know what kind of piece of puzzle am I, so that I know where I fit, what I actually want. Do I really have the good label, I'm calling it label now, but on my forehead, or am I actually having a false label on it so that I actually attract all the wrong guys? Yeah, because they're standing nice and sweet and serving and, you know,
girl.
Like the good girl. I'm actually a wild woman and I love to, I don't know, whatever. I feel loud and I'm loud and it's okay. And so, but also then put it on yourself and show that, because then you can attract the guy who loves exactly that about you.
Yep.
So it's all about these kind of energetic things, but also really about looking into these patterns and yeah.
Can you tell us some stories of transformation? Of course, I'm sure the women then meet someone, but who do they become during these 12 weeks?
We haven't done it yet. It's like we're going to like launch it for the very first time on the 25th of February this year. I could just tell my own, it's my own story. Is that what I see? And of course, like, and also like, yeah, friends of mine that I saw went through this kind of transformation. And it's really all about looking into your closet, cleaning out the closet and making space for the things that you actually want and calling them in. And it's really this kind of, it always sounds a bit woo-ish, but it's in the end, it's just working. And it's really about just being yourself and expecting the best and knowing your worth. And then these magical things start to happen, right?
It's also about looking into the convictions and the beliefs that you have. Because if you are not aware of that, you just live your life and say no or feel resistant to things. That actually, if you would go into why do I all the time have this exact feeling there, I had to do it because my dad was like this and this when I was a child. If you are able to really go into it and clean that up and see what is not yours and what is yours, then you can really change so much and you really can grow into what Priska said, your authentic self. And you only can attract, I believe that you only can attract a person who likes that if you are this person, because otherwise you will attract a guy or a woman, and then he falls in love with someone you are not, and then like in a year or something, he or she thinks, well, this is not what I signed for.
Yes,
exactly. Bye-bye.
Exactly.
Well, I know that there are women that have that desire and that ache for soul-stirring relationships. Mm-hmm. Who are the women that you really are drawn to? Who are the women that you love to work with?
Actually, the women who fit us the most, them the most, are women who are spiritual, but not too spiritual, like a grounded spirituality. Women who don't like sugarcoating. How do you say that?
Yeah.
Where you can just be direct and where you can call them out on their bullshit. Because we are not like the most la-di-di-la-di-da coaches around.
We're kind people, but we're just like, if you're seeing something, we're just putting it there. Of course, always with, do you, like, it's just a buffet. It's so that you have to believe us everything, because we're teachers and we're not, because we're students as well. We're all teachers and students at the same time. So we don't know our clients. And if they know that themselves best, they are the experts of their life. So it's not us to tell you what to do. We're just putting it there and you can take it or leave it, because in the end, it's your responsibility. You are the queen of your life. It's not us to tell you what to do. It's just us to offer you things.
And also women who believe in the concept that you don't have to be loving yourself 100% 24/7 to be able to attract a beautiful love into your life, because you cannot love yourself 24/7. And like, very important to be aware of that.
It's a big myth, especially in the spiritual world,
that
you think, oh, I'm just not loving myself enough. This is why.
Yep.
And it's okay. We cannot love ourselves the whole time, as Boss just said. It's really okay. And still you deserve a love. At any stage, yes.
Yeah, so you don't have to be like ready with doing the self-work and only then you can attract someone. No, you can attract someone at any time.
Mm-hmm.
But you just have to be open and honest and at some point also daring to be raw with your own feelings and taking responsibility for your own shit and not looking for someone else who fixes you on all levels.
We love to work with women who are open, who are ready, really ready for change, who are brave, because of course it's not always just a walk in the park, and who also take over responsibility, as he just said, like really say, hey, I know it's my responsibility and I'm ready to do something for my happiness. And then we're all in. When you're all in, we're all in, and we really are there to serve you, like just give us everything we can for your success and to really support you through whatever situation you're in. So this is how we actually work. So probably can take some like words like shit and fuck, because this happens all the time. We're swearing constantly. So this is also good when the woman is open to that.
I think that's one of the reasons I was so drawn to the two of you is your authenticity. It comes across as like a spiritual diagnosis for women and for single women or and trauma survivors and all of those things of, well, you just need to love yourself. Well, then that's a diagnosis that a woman like I would hear, okay, well, that's not going to happen. So I'm fucked. And the two of you just gave an allowance to be able to be there in that fucked and then to be real about it. There's little that pisses me off more in the spiritual world than you just need to love yourself. And, oh, anything about The Secret just pisses me off. Such a disservice for people.
Well, we also work with the law of attraction just in a different kind of way. You know, just like, oh, it is so easily like do this and like do A and B happens.
Right,
so
it's in a way that actually works.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's more what I already said that we are spiritual but in a very, very grounded way. Because I also see lots of coaches and people and spiritual gurus or whatever you want to call them. They are not connected to this reality anymore. And they are spiritually bypassing every little thing that happens. And I cannot deal with that. I really cannot deal. And it even makes me aggressive. Really.
There's a few big name teachers who they'll talk for 30 minutes and they didn't actually say anything. Okay, so the real deal is coming.
Yes, so excited. Really, really excited. So it's because also for us the first time, A, to see if it really works with other women as well. Of course, because we have tested it. I have seen it within myself because I'm a woman. I have done this stuff. It worked. And I also saw it working with my clients. So now it's really about bringing it out together with the masculine and the feminine energy and to really merge these energies and to bring it out there. And we're very excited to also work over these 11 weeks because it's a long time to actually be in a small group of women. It's not like a big group because we really still want this personal contact with every woman that's working with us. And very exciting.
Yes.
So exciting. How do we find you?
How do we find us?
Well, we have a website called loverelationshit.com. But you can also find us on YouTube. You can find us on Facebook. On Instagram, you can follow us.
But then it's happening a free challenge. We always do free challenges and they're the bomb. I really can say that, right? We can say that. Because they really are rocking every time so majorly. And this time really just with single women. And it's also then in the end, of course, we're going to like just put the real deal at the end of it and to see if women want to keep on rocking with us and like following this journey of attracting their big love and looking into their patterns and freeing themselves from them.
Yeah.
And the challenges really are thought provoking. They are real. They do make a difference.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think you were in the first one, eh?
Was that your first one?
Yes.
I think you were. Cool. I think you were. Yeah. Yes, it was amazing. And of course, it's so intensive. Like we're not doing anything else anymore. We're just like doing the challenge, nothing else. Always in the weeks when the kids are not around. And but it's just so beautiful to see the vulnerability. I think this is a really something that is always happening with us because we're showing up so real and we're also sharing our shit. People just show up as themselves and they're not like really, they really share also their darker sides or their fears. And this is just such a beautiful thing.
Yep.
As you just said, normally we don't see that because people are constantly hiding. And within this group, it's just bam. People are just there, real, honest themselves. And this is just so beautiful. And this really nurtures us so massively. So this is why we're doing that and keep doing that.
Yep.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening. And please check out Love Relation Shit. You can find Priska and Boss on Instagram and Facebook and their website, Love Relation Shit. And you can find me, Megan M. Riley, Facebook, Instagram, all over the place. If you like what you hear, please subscribe. And if there's someone that you think of while listening to this, send that to them. And when you subscribe, you get notifications of every new podcast. Thank you. Have a great day.